Good evening and welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now, open your Bibles, open your minds, and join the conversation with your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good evening. Welcome to another edition of Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight, and I hope you'll be able to stick with us and even join in the conversation yourself. And you can give us a call toll-free, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. The phone lines are open. You can give us a call if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. We'd love to hear from you tonight. And we're going to go ahead and open our program with a word of prayer here this evening. Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to thank you so much again for the opportunity to be on the air again tonight. We do thank you for the opportunity. Bless now. Help us to use it for your glory. Bless the things we talk about tonight. Help us to point people to Christ through our discussions tonight. And we just thank you again for all you've done for us. Bless now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, good to be with you tonight. What a gorgeous day, and I hope you had a good day where you're at. You know, it was a time change Sunday, so hopefully you got your clocks changed. If most of our listening audience is in an area where you had to set the clocks back an hour, and I guess so. A lot of people probably be ready to fall asleep about now, really, if you're an early to bed person or somebody who's not so much of a night owl right now, probably you're about ready to be falling asleep, since even though it's 11 o'clock or just after 11 Eastern Standard Time, because we're back on Standard Time, we're probably all used to this being just after midnight now because we've been on Daylight Savings Time for so long. And I don't mind the switch back to Standard Time so much. What kills me is in the spring when we got to switch back to Daylight Savings Time and we lose an hour of sleep and have to get up an hour earlier. But at any rate, I hope you'll be able to stay up with me tonight. I know it's a little bit late, and or at least it feels a lot later than what the clock says that it is now. But I hope you'll stick with us tonight. Hope we can be a blessing and an encouragement to you. And again, I remind you, if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Invite you to visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And if you go there, you can find links to our Facebook page and some other things that are there, as well as past programs. I try to get them up on there and listed and to get them ready so that you can listen to them later on. So even if you can't make it through the whole program tonight, eventually in a few days, it should be available at our website, livewithpastoral.com. So with all that in mind, it was a beautiful day here in northeastern Ohio today. Comfortable temperatures. Most of the leaves, I think, are coming off the trees. They're dropping fast. The wind and the rain this past week. It was a breezy day today here and knocked knocked a lot of leaves. That's what I'm trying to say. Knocked a lot of leaves off from the trees, and I had a great time being able to get out and do some work outside in the yard yesterday. Just a beautiful weekend, and I haven't heard the weather here today to see what it's supposed to be like this week, but I understand we're supposed to get some nice days. Hope you had a good week yourself, a good weekend, and hope you had a good day at Sunday. I hope you had a good day at church today. And again, if you're not able to find a good church and you're in northeastern Ohio, anywhere near the Akron, Cleveland area, we'd love to have you come and visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, where I'm the pastor. And even if we're too far away from you, we can help you find churches too that we can recommend that you can go to in different areas. So that's one of the things we've been able to do for some listeners in the past, even in other states. So I'm just thankful for the opportunity to be a help and to point people to a good church where they can hear the gospel, or they can grow as a Christian, and where they can serve the Lord. Well, number of things that is looking at here tonight, and before I forget about it, I want to mention that next week on our program, next week, if you can tune in, let me encourage you to tune in. There's special guest that we're going to have. We have Brother Chris Holfacker. He's a church security specialist, I guess you could say. He worked actually out of the Ohio Attorney General's office doing force training for police departments across the state of Ohio for a while, and worked in several police departments, very knowledgeable in this area. He also loves the Lord, and he's an evangelist, and he does actually security training for churches, and he is going to be on the program with us a week from tonight, November 8th. And we'll have him on, I believe, for the whole hour, and we're going to be talking about some situations and areas where we can learn from that, how we can be safer in our churches. And, you know, it's always a difficult thing when you think about it, because in churches, we want people to walk in. I was sitting getting ready for church tonight, and we meet in a hotel. We meet in the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, and I was sitting there going over some of my stuff for my message tonight before church, and I was the only one in the room. And I heard somebody come outside the door and saying, well, yeah, they meet in here. And I heard somebody turn the doorknob and said, well, then the door's unlocked. And they opened the door, and the had a visitor that came in. Real nice guy. We had a great time of fellowship with him, and a truck driver up out of North Carolina. And he was having he found us online and came in to visit us. We had a great time, a great visitor. But I use that as an illustration of the point that we want to have our doors open as churches, and even meeting in a hotel like we do, we want to have our doors open so that we can have people come in and visit. And we get a number of visitors. We get truck drivers that come in. We get people staying at the hotel who come in. We get people in the area who come in. And you want to be welcoming as a church, to welcome people in. But at the same time, you know, the realities of the world in which we live, we do need to have some concerns. And Brother Holfacker will be addressing some of those things next week. So if you're ever wondered about some of these things, what you can do, what your church can do, and some things to consider, be sure and tune in next week for that special program with Chris Holfacker of the Law and Grace Ministry. We'll be talking more about those subjects next week. Also, I wanted to mention here for our Ohio listeners, certainly for everybody, of course, listening, elections are coming up this Tuesday, and let me encourage you to get out and vote. And this is not just Ohio, but certainly Florida, North Carolina, Ohio, Kentucky, West Virginia, wherever you're at. I think it's more than just our right. I think it's our duty to vote. And so if you haven't voted absentee or something like that already, remember, on Tuesday, the polls will be open this week, and get out and vote. That's one of the ways that we as a believer can make a difference. That's a way that we can be salt and light in the world around us, in our local community. I mean, we can make a difference in our local community with our vote. And there's moral issues all the time that pop up on the ballots, whether it's at the local level, the county level, state level, or at the federal level. We've got a variety of things, issues, candidates, various things that are on the ballot. And this is considered an off year. But Ohio's got a rather concerning ballot issue. And we've talked about this a little bit on our Friday afternoon program, but I wanted to mention this one more time, since for those of us in Ohio that are listening, that in Ohio we have, of course, issue 3, which issue 3, of course, is the issue that will legalize medical and recreational marijuana, not just the marijuana and the sale of marijuana, but also candies containing THC and the things with marijuana in it. And basically, Ohio Issue 3 cements in the Constitution a billion-dollar marijuana monopoly for a small group of wealthy investors. And the problem with that is, beyond just the issue of the marijuana and whether or not that should be legal, what it does is it puts into the Ohio State Constitution exclusive rights to all the profits and everything of this business to a small group. I think it's about 10 investors who actually wrote the issue and wrote into the issue their own preferential tax rates, rates that are going to be in the Constitution that can't be changed by the Ohio legislature, like the taxes on beer, wine, and tobacco. And that's from the economic freedom side of things. They basically get a state-sanctioned monopoly. In addition to that, issue three, and this is the concerning part as a Bible-believing Christian, and this is the moral aspect of it. And talking about this too, because even though this is an Ohio State issue three, these issues are being put on the ballot in various states. And if it's not in your state this election, it may be there next year, and most likely will be, or at least somebody will be trying to get it there. But issue three legalizes marijuana-infused products like candy and cookies, and the levels of THC in these things are very high, and these candies in particular are made and packaged to look exactly like, or as much like possible, like regular candies. Like, for instance, gummy bears. They had a thing on the news the other night, and they said, well, here's what gummy bears, you know, are, regular gummy bears that you can buy, and then here's some THC-infused gummy bears that would be legal under this to be sold in Ohio, and I guess they're being sold in Colorado and elsewhere, and they look identical to the regular gummy bears. There's no difference. There's no visual difference. And they had other things, candy bars. I remember one that looked like Kit Kats, and it was wrapped in a wrapper that looked like a Kit Kat wrapper. And I can't remember the name that they had it. They called it Reefer Cat or something like that. And in the coloring of the package and the style, the font that they used for the lettering on the package was the same as the Kit Kat. And all these things are designed to mimic. They have lollipops and things that infuse with high levels of THC. And Colorado's experience with this, in Colorado, they have found that these candies have been resulting in an increased number of children, adults as well, but a lot of children, a lot more children going into the emergency room because of eating these things. They look like candy. They taste like candy. They don't know what they're eating. They don't know what's in them. And they get overdosed on the THC, and they wind up taking a trip to the emergency room. Emergency room visits for marijuana-related issues are skyrocketing in Colorado, and the number of people being admitted to the hospital for marijuana-related things is also skyrocketing in Colorado. Now, the pro-marijuana forces have said, well, but traffic accidents are down. People said the number of accidents would go up. And there is some data that indicates that traffic accidents are down. However, the percentage of accidents caused by marijuana and driving under the influence of marijuana has jumped up sharply since marijuana was legalized in the state of Colorado. And say, well, they're generating a lot of tax revenue. Well, they're spending a lot of that increased tax revenue on associated health care costs, police and safety costs, and insurance costs, and all these sorts of things. And so much so that the liberal Democrat governor of Colorado, who was initially for this, has now said that they never should have passed it in the first place. We should learn from the mistakes of Colorado and elsewhere. Let's see, a number of other things here. High limits on the personal possession of marijuana is going to increase the exposure of children in underage high school and other people to marijuana. It's going to flood Ohio with large amounts of marijuana. And it's going to allow, now I like this, the commercials for it say, it's not a monopoly. We're having all these retail outlets. So they're supposed to allow 1,159 retail marijuana outlet stores where they'll sell marijuana and marijuana products. Well, that's more locations than Starbucks has in the state of Ohio, or more than what McDonald's has in the state of Ohio. In fact, it's nearly three times the number of state liquor stores in the state of Ohio. And they're all run by the same monopoly. So it's not a thing that says there's no monopoly. This is one monopoly. It'd be like if Ford suddenly got a law passed and in their law they banned Chevys and Dodges and Toyota and every other car manufacturer and said the only cars that can be manufactured and sold in the United States is Ford's. And you say, well, that'd be terrible. And they said, but it's not a monopoly because look at the thousands of stores that we sell them at. Now, it's a monopoly. And so this is a bipartisan issue in Ohio. Republicans and Democrats alike have come out against it. Children health care advocates, hospitals, doctors, addiction counselors, the pastors and different faith groups have all come out against it. Mental health professionals, parents, educators, law enforcement officials, farmers, chambers of commerce, leading business people and groups across this state of Ohio have all urged us to vote no on issue three. And I would suggest that too. You know, the Bible says we're supposed to be sober-minded. And we were talking about this and said, well, it's no different than alcohol. Well, my wife gave the best explanation. You don't have any such thing as secondhand inebriation. And there have been cases where people who have been around people smoking marijuana have tested positive with THC. And one case, there was a case in the Air Force where a B-52 bomber pilot had been prevented from flying because I believe it, his wife was smoking marijuana. He didn't smoke it himself, but through secondhand smoke, he absorbed enough THC in his system that he tested positive. And so as a consequence, he was grounded. And that's a good reminder too. It may be legalizing this in Ohio, but it's still against federal law. And, if you're going to test positive for THC, you're not going to be able to get a security clearance in the military. You're not going to be able to do certain jobs for the federal government. And there's a lot of jobs, not just with the government, but working as a nurse, working as a doctor. There's a number of jobs working on a train, working pilots in the airline industry, all sorts of people. That the people who work with heavy equipment that have drug testing, and if they come up positive for THC, and even if they don't smoke it, but people around them do, and they're absorbing it by secondhand smoke, in many cases, they can lose their jobs. So this is something to be concerned about, but most importantly is certainly the moral aspect of it. We're supposed to train up our children, Paul wrote to Timothy, to be sober-minded, and certainly high on marijuana is not being sober-minded. Well, wanted to share that with us here today and encourage people to get out and vote. And when you see issues like this, and as a Christian, we see issues like this, it's our responsibility to get out and make a difference. It's our responsibility to be salt and light in the world around us. And of course, salt retards decay, light pushes back darkness. And we certainly have a decaying and ever-darkening culture in which we live in. And if Christians don't make the effort, then who is going to make the effort? You know, we see unsaved people taking over the government because we don't vote, and then we complain that they act like unsaved people. So let me encourage you, make a difference. Get out and vote. Yeah, vote this November 3rd. That's Tuesday, November 3rd. It's election day. Get informed about the issues that are on your ballot. Like I said, whether you're in Ohio or whether you're all the way down in Florida, you know, our stations in Florida, our stations here in Ohio, and people listening online, wherever you are, there's bound to be some issues on your ballot, bound to be some local races, some county races, some state races that you need to get involved in. Don't be afraid as a Christian to let your voice be heard. You still have time. You can spend tomorrow. I can give you a homework assignment, I guess. Spend tomorrow. Get in touch with your county board of elections or go online and find out what is going to be on the ballot when you go in on election day. And then Get into the Bible. Try and see if you can find a biblical position to take on that issue. Don't be afraid to ask other Christians, your pastor or somebody that you respect their Christian views and beliefs. And if you have some struggles with some of these issues, and ask them for some guidance, because we have an opportunity to really make a difference to affect the moral climate and indirectly the spiritual climate of our country, of our communities, by the votes that we make. Pray and ask God to help you and to guide you in making these votes. All right. Well, I guess I've done my public service for today. And let me remind you that this is a live program, and we don't have to talk about the election. We don't have to talk about the ballot issues. We can talk about what you want to talk about. If you've got a question about the Bible, or if you've got a question about current events in light of God's Word, we sure love to have you give us a call here tonight. And you can call us toll-free, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We'd love to hear from you this evening here. And I'll tell you what, there's a lot of things happening. There was a Russian jetliner went down in the Sinai Peninsula of Egypt. I believe it was on Saturday. And they're looking into that, not sure whether or not that might have something to do with a terrorist attack or if it was just something that happened. Tragic accidents do happen. But unfortunately, we're certainly in the Sinai Peninsula. If you look at Egypt and the things that are happening there in Egypt, Egypt is a country that is on the verge of collapse in some areas, and it's an important country in some biblical prophecies and things. But basically, the Egyptian government, with the toppling of Mubarak, the Muslim Brotherhood gained control for a while, and then they were ousted by the Egyptian military. And certainly during the time that the Muslim Brotherhood was there, they were definitely taking a turn, harder line, jihadist type positions, and they were taking a turn away from the Word of God, they weren't there in the first place. It's a Muslim country, but they were taking a definite turn away from some of the more moderate positions that they had, and even looking at ending the peace treaty that Egypt had established previously with Israel. And the Egyptian army was able to oust that government and called for new elections, and we had General Assisi, I believe it was, became the leader. He was elected as the new president or whatever of Egypt, and he's tried to maintain a much more moderate approach with the West and also maintain the peace treaty with Israel. However, what has happened there is that the jihadis, the Muslim Brotherhood, basically pushed out into the Sinai Peninsula, and they have been working with Hamas. And of course, Hamas is a sort of a grandchild of the Muslim Brotherhood, and they're pretty much on the same page in many things, both terrorist organizations. And the Muslim Brotherhood has been entrenched in the Sinai Peninsula, and of course, the Islamic State, with the fall of Libya, has been encroaching in the eastern desert area of Egypt. And so the Egyptian government, by and large, is controlling mostly the Nile Valley, which is where most of the population is. 95% or more of the population probably is in the Nile Valley and on the Nile Delta. But this area out in the Sinai is a largely lawless area, a lot of jihadist groups out there. And so when this Russian airliner went down in the Sinai Peninsula, it seemed like a reasonable thing to believe that could be some kind of Islamic group that may be involved. And I believe the Islamic State, whether or not they were involved, has already made a claim of credit on it, but don't know for sure that that's the case. But There's evidence in the Bible that Egypt itself may eventually fall back into chaos. You can read Isaiah 19 and Ezekiel chapter 29. And in both of those chapters, we see some things that are going to happen in Egypt. But one of the things that's going to happen, and that's Ezekiel 29, talks about the destruction of Egypt. And the destruction so complete that and so severe that the Egyptian people are forced out of their land to other countries for a period of 40 years. And if that's going to happen shortly before the seven-year tribulation period occurs, then that would entail the Egyptian exodus extending into the millennial reign of Christ. And there's some reasons to believe that episode that causes that to happen could be the result of a nuclear attack upon Egypt by the Israelis. And we look at things that are happening and things getting more and more tense in the Middle East. I'm looking for, on the prophetic calendar, I guess, seeing something happen with the current government of Egypt collapsing. And this would result, if you'll study Ezekiel chapter 29, maybe in the next half of the program, we might get into this a little bit more. But Ezekiel 29 talks about the land of Egypt becoming desolate and waste in verse number 9. And then, of course, in Isaiah chapter 19, it talks about the land of Judah shall be a terror unto Egypt in verse 17. And so when you tie these together, it looks like this future attack on Egypt would come from Israel. Well, we're going to talk about some more things in the second half of the program, be with you till midnight. So stay tuned. We've got another half hour to go. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, located midway between Akron and Cleveland at 5171 Rexville Road in Richfield, where the Ohio Turnpike, Interstate 80, and Interstate 77 cross. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions, just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Why? Well, because the Bible says, "There is none righteous, no, not one. We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." The Bible also says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And so the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." I like that. Whosoever, that means you. If this show's been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing Pastor Al Davis, Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Our email address is pastoral@maplenoll.us. You can also visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. Or you can call us at 330-659-6561. We'd love to hear from you, but now let's get back to our program. Well, welcome back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. We'll be with you until midnight tonight, and I hope you'll stick with us and join in the conversation this evening. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call toll-free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We'll get you on the air here this evening and remind you to visit us at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can listen to past programs there, and you can also link to our Facebook page. I encourage you to visit our Facebook page and like us on Facebook and keep track of what we do there. Try to put a number of articles and stuff up on the Facebook page that we're following and some other things. I can usually get some stuff on there faster than on the web page at livewithpastoral.com, but it all starts there if you go there. You can also link from there to our webpage for our home church, the Richfield Bible Baptist Church, and also remind you that we're brought to you by the East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights, and that is located at 4889 Turney Road, right across the street from the Garfield Heights High School. You can call East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights for pickup or delivery at 216-341-9100. That's 216-341-9100. If you mention Live with Pastor Al, you can get a medium one-topping pizza for just $5. That's East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights, right across from the Garfield Heights High School at 4889 Turney Road. Also, if you're interested in opening your own pizza shop or adding pizza to an existing restaurant that you might have, you don't have to live in Ohio for this part. You can call East Coast Pizza at 216-341-9100. That's 216-341-9100 and ask for Gus. He can help you get started in your own pizza business for a whole lot less than what you might think possible. And appreciate our sponsor there, and appreciate our home church for sponsoring the program. And we're thankful that we're able to do this. I mean, I joke sometimes, say we're probably the smallest church in the country that's got a radio ministry like this. And it's just simply because God is blessed. It's been nice because when we started out in radio, the last thing I wanted to do was have to be on the radio constantly begging for money. I remember some guy that was on the radio back in the 80s. I remember listening to him, and he would come on the air and he would say, "Now, we're not like other ministries. We don't beg for money all the time. In fact," and then he would go through, in the course of saying that, he would go through all their bills and all the money that they needed, and he would spend like 20 minutes, I think, on a half-hour program telling you how he didn't have to beg for money because, you know, we have these bills, and if you send your money to this address, then God will meet those bills, and we don't have to beg for money. But we're thankful that God has provided. And now, if somebody out there's got $1 million that you don't know what to do with, I mean, I'll gladly take $1 million to put toward their radio program. I don't think we'll turn that down. But we've just been thankful that God's been able to supply through our church and through our sponsors. And I can't thank them enough for making this possible. And there are people from time to time that do send us something. And we've had some people ask from time to time about things and all, but we're just thankful that we can do this because I like to spend the time talking about the things in the Bible, and I like to spend time taking your questions. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We'll get you on the program here tonight with your questions about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. Probably most people have gone to sleep by now, if you think about it, because you're trying to stay up. It's an hour later, and people get a busy day at church and everything, and you got to be up for work tomorrow morning. And so I understand that a lot of people probably, with the time change and all that, not wanting to be up too late tonight. But know there's a number of night owls out there like myself and my wife that don't go to bed early anyways. And so we're thankful that you're listening to us tonight. Hope that we're a blessing. Hope that we're an encouragement to us. And if you've ever wanted to get in, this is your time to do it. 888-677-9673. 9673. We'd love to hear from you tonight. Well, let me get back to some things I was talking about just before the break there. We were talking about the situation in Egypt and about how this Russian jetliner was shot down over Egypt. It was an Airbus, I forget exactly what model, and considered a workhorse, a reliable aircraft. It's in use all over the world. I guess there's probably thousands of them out there. And a very sturdy, reliable aircraft. And so the likelihood of just having mechanical failure, while you can't rule it out, is not as likely. And I was suggesting that because of the presence of a lot of jihadis and stuff in the Sinai Peninsula, there's very possible that it could have been the result of some kind of a terrorist attack. Now, the thing that I find interesting here, and I think I might have mentioned this a little bit last week, is that Russia is in the Middle East, and you know they're in Syria and they're in Iraq and places like that. And in Ezekiel chapter 38, in the setup for the Ezekiel chapter 38 invasion of Israel, we have Russia, which is identified the land of Gog and Magog, Meshech and Tubal, and they are said in verse number 4, he says, "And I will turn thee back and put hooks into thy jaws, and I will bring thee forth with all, and all thine army." But this turning back is the idea that they were in the Middle East and something happens that causes them to leave. And they're turned back, brought back into the Middle East. So I think we're at that part right now where Russia, through events that'll take place, probably the pre-Ezekiel 38 war that you can see outlined in places like I was just looking at in previously in Isaiah 19 and Ezekiel 29 and other places talking about a pre-Ezekiel 38 battle associated with Psalm 83 as well. And I think in that battle, Russia's going to get its nose bloodied. It's going to leave the Middle East, and then God's going to bring it back. And we can talk about those things and more, but we've got some callers calling in here this evening. And I'm going with Johnny in Tampa first. Johnny, welcome to the program tonight.
Thank you, Pastor. Really enjoy your show.
Thank you.
You're most informative.
Well, glad to have you listening and glad to have you calling.
I just want to get this clear in my head about this Muslim. Some people are saying that there's a moderate sect and there's a violent sect, but according to the Quran, they are supposed to try to kill us if we don't subscribe to their religion. Now, if you are a Muslim reading out of your Quran, now I got this from Dr. R.C. Sproul, and he had a Bible scholar on there, a man who was very well versed in who was a Muslim and converted to Christianity. Mm-hmm. And he really knew his stuff about the Quran, you know?
Right.
And to me, there is no such thing as a moderate Muslim, you know? And I hate that. It's like homosexual people, you know? I don't want to feel bad about them, you know, but it's the word of God. You mm-hmm. you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah. But,
if he's reading out of that same book as ISIS,
right, out of the same Quran, yes,
he can't be right.
Yeah, let me address a couple of those things that you brought up there, Johnny, because you make some good observations there. And I would put it this way. You know, you're talking about, are there moderate Muslims? And if you think about it, many Muslims are just like many people who call themselves Christians. They never read their book. You know,
think about
what I said. There's a lot of Christians that never read the Bible unless they're in church, and sometimes not even then. You know, there's a lot of churches where they don't even use the Bible.
You're right.
And
you're right.
So There's a guy by the name of Tom Wallace. He's been on the program with us before. He hosts a program on some other stations across the country called Fortress of Faith, and you can find him online, I believe, at fortressoffaith.org. And he said this many times, the first victims of Islam is the Muslim people themselves, because they have been pulled into this. And a lot of them, it's just simply because, well, their family was Muslim, and so they grew up in that environment. They don't know anything different. And, you know, just like many people who call themselves Christians, because, well, I grew up going to church. My family went to church. I went, never really read the Bible. Well, they don't read the Quran. They don't know what the Quran says, just like a lot of Christians don't know what the Bible says. But here's the thing. If you start studying the Quran and believe what it says, what you will become eventually, if you practice what the Quran teaches, is like the Islamic State. It's like the Muslim Brotherhood. It's like Al-Qaeda. Those people.
Be no different from ISIS or any of those people.
If you read and study the Quran. And a lot of people say, well, we need a reformation in Islam. And I would say, oh, no, we don't. We don't want a reformation in Islam. We want a falling away in Islam. We want apostasy in Islam. See, the reformation in Christianity, what it did is in the Middle Ages, people began reading their Bibles, believing their Bibles, and then following the Word of God and putting it into practice. And that led to the Reformation, which was people coming back to the Bible and doing what the Bible said. Now, there were always some people there, Bible-believing Christians, that they saw. And in many cases, they saw these people and said, what are they standing up for? Why are they being persecuted? And, they're reading the Bible. And they started reading it, and they became Bible-believing Christians as well, the Anabaptists or the Baptists that were persecuted all the way down from the first century. But, and so the Reformation in Christianity was a return to the book, a return to the principles of Bible Christianity. And so a Reformation in Islam would be a return to the book, a return to the Quranic principles, which gives you ISIS and Al-Qaeda.
And so all of the Muslims are just as bad as ISIS.
Well, they're following the book, and so that's why I said we would want Muslims to be ignorant of the Quran. Yeah. We would want Muslims to apostatize from their book, and we would want them. And here's what I think we should pray for. We should pray that Muslims realize the errors and the inconsistencies in the Quran and the moral and spiritual superiority of the Bible, and that they begin to turn to Christ and get saved. And, you know, a lot of the Muslims, they're the first victims of Islam, and they don't really know what Islam teaches because they don't study it, just like a lot of Christians don't know really what biblical Christianity is because they don't study it. But,
well, see, our God is love.
Yes.
Their God is a demon.
In fact, we have a guy that goes to our church. He used to be a Muslim. He's a Christian now. And he's told me many times, he says, Pastor Al, there's no love in the Quran. There's no love at all in the Quran.
No. It's for the killer.
It's not there. And they're commanded in the Quran. If you believe the Quran is the word of Allah and you're going to practice it, it demands that you work towards the destruction of the kafir, the infidels, and kill them if they won't convert, and all the world is to be under the control of Islam. And
it's really bad. I feel really bad when I pass one of these people with a garb, you know.
Right. They're in bondage to a false satanic religion.
And some part of it, you know, the modern dress of the women, I feel like it's at the really extreme. I think it's extremism towards the women, but the women are Muslim too. You know what I mean? And
right.
They read the same book as the men do.
Well, and you know? And really in Islam, they have no rights. They're second-class citizens in Islam.
I know.
And it's a sad thing.
So
Christianity sets women free. It's,
I know.
You know, the Bible sets them free just like it sets any sinner free. And but we need to be praying for the Muslim people. We need to be praying that God has speak to their hearts. And as we get opportunities to share the love, and you hit it right on the head there when you said there's no love, we need to be praying that they see the love of God.
That's right.
Because that's what's going to save them. They've seen, you know, an angry God. They've seen a God. They've seen a wrathful, vengeful God. But they've not seen a loving God.
No. And they're just like, Go ahead.
I was going to say, just like in the Bible, you know, God does have wrath and he does have anger, but it's balanced and tempered with his love and his mercy, which provides as a result the grace that you and I have to trust Christ as our Savior so that our sins can be forgiven. Because if the God of the Bible was the same as the God of the Quran, you and I would not have any hope of heaven.
Man, it'd be a dogfight.
Yeah.
Be a dogfight constantly as they're trying to portray right now.
Yeah.
Because they don't. But we as Christians, we got a problem too. You know, our church would not stand up. Our church is gone. I mean, it's going to stop.
Yeah. Well, we've got to, as Christians, get involved.
Up.
Yeah. I appreciate that and your sentiments there tonight. And we pray that Christians open their eyes to what's going on around them. And,
I'm an uneducated man, Pastor.
But you know Christ, right?
I get my understanding through the Holy Spirit, you know, and listening to people like you.
Well,
the Holy Spirit lets me know when I'm hearing truth, you know.
I appreciate that.
But I appreciate your program.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate the topic there tonight, too. Thank you so much.
All right. Maybe some Muslim will hear that and read their book and understand that. I feel bad for them. It makes me feel bad. Yeah. It's like, you know, when you're dealing with a homosexual, you don't want
to. We need to pray for them, too, yeah.
You know what I mean? But you can't. It's just two sides. It's one, either on God's side, Jesus Christ's side, or you on the wrong side.
Right.
You know what I mean? So.
You're right. We got to be on God's side.
Compassion, I said, Lord, have mercy. You know what I mean? Thank you. Thank you very much.
I appreciate the call tonight. Thank you so much. All right. You're listening to Live with Pastor Al. We've got Kevin calling in again tonight. Kevin, welcome to the program.
Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you. Glad to have you.
Yeah, I listened to you. This is my first time I ever called you.
Oh, well, I'm glad.
I'm hoping you can help me out.
All right, let's see what we can do.
I got a friend of mine that's straying. And I was trying to find a Bible passage to show them they know better. What I'm looking for is, I know I read, when you sin and know you're sinning, you'll be judged twice as hard.
All right, could you repeat that again? When you sin and you know you're sinning, I didn't catch the second part.
You'll be judged twice as hard.
Oh, okay. Well, let me ask you this. Would this be along the lines of what you're thinking, to whom much is given, much is required?
Right.
All right. Let's see if we can find one of those verses here. And I'm trying to give me a moment here to type in here. Let's see, in Luke chapter 12, this is what I'm coming up with here, see how this works out here. In Luke chapter 12, it says, I'll read verse 47 and 48. It says, And that servant which knew his Lord's will and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. But he that knew not and did commit things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes. For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall much be required. And to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more.
Before I called you.
Yeah, that, you think about it. I mean, here in America, we're, you know, we've been given a lot, haven't we? And because of what God has given us, much more is going to be required of us. than some other part of the world where they haven't had the opportunities, you know, to hear the gospel. They haven't had the opportunities to advance the cause of Christ that we have in this country. And obviously people who wind up in the lake of fire for all eternity, they're all going to be there because they've not put their faith in Christ as their Savior. But the Bible talks about levels of punishment in the lake of fire. And I believe that's at the Great White Throne Judgment there in Revelation 20, I believe, is the idea of the books of the things that they did, the record, their works, is to set the level of punishment in the lake of fire. And also they'll see the level of awareness that they had, the opportunities that they had to know what God expected of them, and that'll help in setting the level of punishment in the lake of fire. That'd be a good verse there. Hope that helps you there tonight.
It does. A friend, they convince it. They become their own God. That's what I've been telling you.
And that happens sometimes, yes. And we become our own God. We violate the commandment to have no other gods before Him, right? So
yes, that's what I tell you. You break it 2-3 laws, you don't even know.
Yeah.
You know, I appreciate you working out.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate that call then. I hope you'll call back again sometime. And we've got Nancy calling in yet. We're going to get Nancy in here before the end of the hour here, hopefully. Nancy, welcome to the program.
Oh, hi, Pastor Al. I'm one of those night owls you were talking about.
Yeah, well, there you are.
I'm just getting started. Well, I'm retired, and I used to work night shift.
Yeah.
But I was interested in asking a question about the book of Job in chapter 1.
All right, let me get over there, and I'll let you know while I'm turning there. We got just under 3 minutes left to go in the program.
Okay.
See, everybody called in the second half.
Yeah, I noticed.
Job chapter 1, right?
Yeah. Satan was more or less challenging God, if I understood this correctly.
Yes.
That he had a hedge of protection around him, and no harm could come to him, and he would not, you know, everything was just perfect with him. He owned all this wealth and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And then, and from my understanding, God gave Satan permission to take away, you know, his
take
children
his,
and
his,
you know,
yeah, his wealth and his possessions and all
his wealth and possessions. Now, that, now when you go to Job 1:21, says the Lord, Job says, the Lord gave and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Right.
But didn't actually Satan take these things away?
Well,
it wasn't really the Lord's idea.
Yeah, but God allowed it.
Okay.
Yeah, God allowed it to happen because He said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And in that, he's recognizing that all that he had been blessed with was because of the Lord.
Yes.
And, you know, the Lord gave it to him, and the Lord allowed it to be taken away. Yeah, Satan is the one that took it, but he could not have done it, as you pointed out. There was a hedge about him, and he wasn't able to until the Lord allowed him to.
Okay.
So God allowed that to happen, and the book of Job can be a challenging book, but it's a rewarding book. We went through it on our Sunday night services some time ago last year. I think we finished it, but you know, it puts a lot of things in perspective as you go through it. I think I hear the music there, so we've probably got about a minute or less left in the program. But yeah, in fact, he was hindered because in chapter 2 he goes back to the Lord again and he says, well, the only reason Job loves you still is because you haven't let me touch him personally. And so
yeah, and
God allowed
all those boils.
Yeah, and God allowed him to take away Job's health. And the other thing that should encourage us is that Satan's on a leash. He can only go so far. And he recognized God put a hedge about Job. And so that's where I think we pray a hedge of protection about each other sometimes, about our church, about our pastor, and about our loved ones, because we want the devil to be on a short leash. Hey, Nancy, we're out of time. I want to thank you for the call and to thank all of our callers, our listeners tonight. God bless. Have a great week.
You've just listened to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Late Night Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also like us on Facebook or listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis is the pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield every Sunday at 11 a.m. and 6 p.m. and every Friday night at 7. You can contact Pastor Al by writing to Pastor Al Davis at P.O. Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Or you can email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Tune in every week for Late Night Live with Pastor Al, Sunday nights at 11 o'clock on this station. Late Night Live with Pastor Al is brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.